Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. When we contemplate making a change in our lives, the task can seem so monumental. Losing weight, quitting smoking, eating a healthier diet, getting regular exercise. The desire to do any of these things is often prompted by impulse. And when we lose our motivation, we quit and blame our lack of willpower. But our next guest has a different approach to change, which involves something he calls tiny habits.
Dr. BJ Fogg is a psychologist and innovator who directs the Persuasive Tech Lab at Stanford University and also works on industry projects. He's created a new model of human behavior change, which guides research and design. Dr. Fogg is the author of Persuasive Technology, Using Computers to Change What We Think and Do, a book that explains how computers can motivate and influence people. Fortune magazine selected him as one of the 10 new gurus you should know.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Fogg. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You create systems to change human behavior, but you call it behavior design. Now, most of us think design, we're going to design our clothing, design our home, but designing behavior is probably a new concept to most people.
Yeah, when I talk about behavior design, I'm talking about a set of models and a set of methods. Models are ways to think clearly about how behavior works, and methods are how to design for the outcome that you want. And when it comes to, well, certain types of behavior, especially lasting change, it's really more of a design challenge than a motivation challenge. And that's a big shift in traditional thinking.
When you say it's more of a design challenge, you mean that people have to create an environment in which change is supportive and effective?
Well, that's part of it, exactly. One of the first steps is, you know, most people have an aspiration, such as they want to reduce stress or they want to lose weight. Those are not behaviors. Those are aspirations. And the first step in the design process is to figure out which specific behaviors will lead you to that aspiration, which specific actions will help you achieve that. And most people just guess at that. And just randomly. And there's a systematic way to match yourself with the right behaviors that will lead to less stress or lead to losing weight and keeping it up and so on.
So do this for us then so that people can follow along. Pick something that we might consider something that we see as a goal, but you say it's an aspiration. And then define it and then tell us the steps that one should take to reach that aspiration.
One thing that's going on within corporate America is the workers are stressed out. So, you know, the wellness leaders talk about stress. They talk about resilience. So let's pick that one. You know, so let's say somebody's at work and they're like, man, I'm just feeling stressed all day long at work. And let's call this person, let's call her Susan. So Susan's at work and she knows she's stressed out. Now, she may watch something on TV that says, oh, you should meditate. Meditation really tackles stress. Well, that may be the wrong behavior for Susan. She may not have the ability to meditate. It may not be something she really likes to do. So instead of assuming there's one perfect behavior that everybody must do in the whole company to reduce stress, it's to have some system of matching yourself with the right behavior. And I call that the matching problem. So let's say Susan considers her options in some way. There's some system that helps her look at what she could do. And she finds that taking a five-minute walk down the hallway every hour is the thing that she both wants to do and she can do, and it helps her de-stress. So then that five-minute walk becomes the focus of design. So then she says, okay, how do I make it easy to do? And how do I trigger or remind myself to do it? So the flow looks like understand what the aspiration is, then find a specific behavior, set of behaviors that will help you reach it. And then once you have the specific behaviors, then it's like, well, how do I make it easier to do? And then how do I remind myself or prompt myself? And that's the flow in behavior design.
And I would like to try another example, because what Susan has to do, it benefits her immediately to not feel stressed, and she's able to match that with something that she actually enjoys. So she really, there is a level of motivation. But let's go to the one that so many people can relate to. Bill wants to lose weight, and Bill loves eating. It's hard to limit himself. He also may eat because of stress. So many people either want to exercise and can't force themselves or want to lose weight. And they set up all these things, and the first 2 weeks they're going gangbusters. But something fails, and they fall into the same patterns. Could you just walk us through, as you did with the example of Susan, what a person does wrong and what they can do right to achieve their goal?
Yeah, you know, one of the things in a quest like that, when people get excited to lose weight, they have a high level of motivation. And they're feeling capable of doing hard things. And with a high level of motivation, they are indeed capable of doing hard things. But motivation goes up and down over time. That's just normal. That's natural. And so when the motivation sags, Bill will not be able to get himself to go to the gym or not be able to get himself to resist that great pie that's sitting on the table. So what, at least in my approach, in the behavior design approach, you are realistic about how motivation works, that motivation will go up and down, and you design for low states of motivation. You design for very simple behaviors you can do, even if your motivation is low. So you don't set yourself up for failure. You don't imagine some fantasy version of you in the future that's going to be able to exercise hard an hour a day and resist all the sweets and so on. So that's one way to think about it. Alongside with that, and I'm not a weight loss expert, but I know something about this domain, is for someone like Bill to look at that outcome of losing 10% of his body weight as there's a long-term process for getting there, and there's a bunch of small steps and a bunch of small habits that he needs to create to get there. And it's a process that happens over time, especially if he wants it to be long-term. And he should start doing small behaviors that he already wants to do that will help him get there. And he shouldn't work on ones he doesn't want to do. If he doesn't want to go walk on the treadmill, that is not what he should be picking. He should be picking activities he wants to do. Maybe it's play tennis or walk the dog, or maybe it's join a Zumba class. In other words, it's back to the matching problem. How does Bill match himself with types of physical activity that he wants to do and he can do and that are realistic? And how does he change his eating behaviors in ways that he wants to do? If he hates kale, if he doesn't want to eat kale or drink tons of water, that's not where he should start. He should start with the behaviors he wants to do and then over time trust the process. And where the process works is the more you succeed, the more capable you get of succeeding in the future. So you don't start with the hardest behaviors first. You start with the ones that you want to do and you can do, and you persist. And you be patient and you trust the process.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we're talking about behavior design and something called tiny habits. Our guest is Dr. BJ Fogg. He's a psychologist who directs this persuasive tech lab at Stanford University. Dr. Fogg, you said you're not a weight loss expert, but you did give a TED Talk in which you showed a chart that said, hey, you lost some weight. And you talked about the process in which you did it. And it involved something that you've developed. It is called tiny habits. And you've alluded to it because you're basically mentioning design for behaviors that one wants to do, that one can do, and that are easy to do. Talk about that in the context of tiny habits. What are tiny habits?
Yeah, so tiny habits is a specific method for bringing new behaviors into your life. And it's a method that I created quite by accident. You know, I'm a behavior scientist, but also in my own life, I'm always playing around with my own behavior because it's fun and it's interesting and I learn things. And then one year I was goofing around with a whole bunch of ways to change my behavior in small ways. Because I knew if I made small changes, it wasn't so dependent on motivation. And I came up with this approach to bringing habits into your life that was very effective for me. I started sharing it, and it's been very effective for thousands and thousands of people. And here's how it works. You essentially pick a very small action that you want to do, such as pour a glass of water, set out your vitamins, set an apple on the counter. So notice it's not eat the apple. It's just put the apple out on the counter. It's very, very, and that's why it's called tiny habits. And then you figure out where does that tiny action fit naturally in your life. It could be after I start the coffee maker, that's when I put the apple out on the counter, which you might eat later as a snack. So you use an existing routine, such as starting the coffee maker or letting the dog out to play, some habit you already have to remind you to do the new tiny behavior that you want. You know, pour a glass of water, set the apple out. So in my own life, and one of the tiny habit recipes that I share, I think this is a great one, is after I brush, I will floss one tooth. So for most people, brushing is an established routine. So you can use that routine to remind you to floss. And notice it's not floss all your teeth, because that's hard. That's not tiny. It's floss one tooth. And then you floss that tooth, and then you basically congratulate yourself. You say, good for you, BJ, you floss that tooth. Good for you. You are changing. Now, what happens over time, just like planting a little plant in the earth, you keep it nurtured, it will naturally grow. So these tiny habits naturally grow, and over time, you will naturally be flossing all your, you know, more teeth and eventually all your teeth. And so the metaphor that we teach and that I think is right on target is habits are a lot like plants, and you can start them small, start them in the right place, and keep them nurtured, and they will grow naturally to their, you know, predestined size. And so whether that's flossing or working out or eating lots of vegetables during the day, it's much easier and it's much more reliable to start habits that are small and get them firmly rooted in the ground. And you do that by feeling successful. That's what roots the habits in our brain. And over time, you allow it to grow and become the full habit. You know, the working out 30 minutes, the meditating 20 minutes, and so on.
Well, you've created a system, in fact, online, which you give away for free. If somebody Googles Tiny Habits, Dr. BJ Fogg, which we will link to on our website, you've created this website, and it's it's an event. And so people sign up, and then you send reminders out. And it's a process of support in which you're providing feedback. And you focus a lot on positive reinforcement. How successful has Tiny Habits been as far as you can see?
Well, from what I can tell, it's the most successful way to change your life of anything I've ever seen. Its success rates are really high. The Tiny Habits public session is 5 days. It takes about 45 minutes total to do it. I think it's the fastest way to learn about how habits work and how to bring new behaviors into your life. And I really tried to optimize it for that. And what people do is they pick three tiny habits they want to work on. And then, you know, the session starts on Monday and they practice them for 5 days. And I check in with people each day. And at the end, I evaluate how it's gone with people. And during that week, people often have big breakthroughs, not only in understanding how to create habit, but once they start succeeding on small things, it seems to open the door for them to tackle bigger things that they have been avoiding or procrastinating. So not only do they get these small changes in their life, and then they learn how to create habits to some degree, the success they experience seems to have this, I don't want to call it magical because I'm a scientist, but it's a remarkable effect, a breakthrough. So from my side of things, when I look at what's happened over those 5 days, when I evaluate what's going on, well over 80% of people say that they have gone on to change other things in their life. And over 20% of that 80%, over 20% report that they actually changed something big in their life. So, you know, one of the takeaways is change leads to change and success leads to success. And you can start anywhere. You can start with flossing one tooth and have that lead to outcomes related to weight loss, because it's a process of learning how to take control of your life and learning how to recognize your success. And so you can start anywhere, and you can start small. And that's, in some ways, that's the breakthrough of the Tiny Habits method, is you start really small, high success rate, and then you learn how. Behavior change is a skill. It's a skill. It's not magic. And by learning the skills of behavior change, just like learning the skills of practicing the piano, over time you can apply it to bigger and harder challenges.
Dr. BJ Fogg is a psychologist and innovator who directs the Persuasive Tech Lab at Stanford University and also works on industry projects. He's created a new model of human behavior change, which guides research and design. Thank you so much for joining us today on Take Care.
Thank you for having me.